Members call the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration order. Quorum is present. Mr. Murphy E. moves the minutes for May 5th, 2010. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Members, we will set the time parameters first for the calendar for the day.
Reading number three. Yep.
One and two have been done.
No. It's number three.
All right, number one, or number three actually on the calendar here is a Senate file 1886 Saltzman, bill act relating to commerce regulating contracts and insurance claims for residential roofing. 2 hours. The next bill is House File 2600, a Mullery bill, act relating to financial institutions providing for licensing and regulation. Engaged to the businesses of home mortgage origination. 20 minutes. The next bill, Senate File 2642, Representative Jackson's bill, relating to correcting erroneous and ambiguous omitted text. This is our technical corrections bill. 30 minutes. Number five is the revisor's technical bill, which we're not doing today, so we will skip that at this time and come back to it later. Number six is a Holberg bill, modifying the definition of motor vehicle. 20 minutes. Seven and eight we will skip. We are not taking up today. We're looking for more input on those. Number nine, House File 2958, Simon bill, nursing facility rate provisions modified. 20 minutes. Number 10. House File 2610, a Mullery bill, seizure and forfeiture modifications. 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Number 11, House File 2965, a PAMAR bill dealing with gang and drug oversight council, multi-jurisdictional strike forces. 2 hours. Number 12, House File 3122, a junkie bill, regulating appraisal management companies. 20 minutes. Number 13, Senate File 2933, a Hosh bill, continuing care policy and technical provisions, 30 minutes. Number 14, Senate File 3145, a con bill, controlled substance offenses, mixture, definition, and weight mandate, half hour. Number 15, Senate File 2773, planning bill, saliva, 30 minutes.
Say no more.
Or we can just do it right here. 16, Senate File 2663, Atkins, strengthening protections for car dealerships, 20 minutes. Number 17, House File 3033, a Rukavina bill, rebates for Minnesota-made solar panels, 30 minutes. 18, Senate File 3081, royalty bill, changes to seabed statute, 30 minutes. 19, Senate File 3080, modifications of laws on emissions reductions, a Hilty bill, 20 minutes. Senate File 3046, a royalty bill, allowing electric co-ops to satisfy the SIP with solar purchases. 20 minutes. 21, Senate File 1537, a clerk bill, Minneapolis transmission line must get certificate of need. 30 minutes. Any discussion or changes or modifications to those recommendations? Representative?
The last bill, the clerk bill, I think 30 is underestimating.
Okay. Should go an hour then?
Say it. Could go at least then.
Okay, we will do an hour for number 21, the clerk bill. Any other discussion on these time parameters?
One other question, Mr. Chair.
Yep, go ahead.
And I don't know, I haven't spoken with the chair, Chairman Hilty, but a couple people brought it to my attention this morning that they might try to wrap some of those bills into one amendment. Under one bill, how does that affect time parameters if three, four bills get consolidated?
Representative Westrom, that will not be the case. Those bills will run separately.
Okay.
All those in favor of the time parameters for the calendar for the day signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Now the fiscal calendar, members. Let the record show that Representative Westrom voted aye for the time parameters for the calendar.
Fiscal. I move to reconsider.
Fiscal calendar. First bill on the fiscal calendar is a Conan bill, House File 3571. I wasn't going to say anything, Representative Westrom, you're the one who said. Conan bill, House File 3571, publicly owned nursing facilities rate increase, local share required, 30 minutes. Number two is a Representative Mary Murphy bill, House File 3790. This is the cultural heritage bill, 3 hours. Number three is the Wagenius bill, Senate File 3275, Environmental and Natural Resources Omnibus Bill, 3 hours. Number four is a Rood bill, House File 3046, Birthing Centers Licensure Established, 1 hour. And number five, a Jackson bill, Real Property, Private Transfers, Child Support Provisions, 20 minutes. That's House File 3786. Any discussion? All those in favor of those time parameters signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Motion prevails. The record show that Representative Westrom voted against those time parameters. All right, members, we are going to go into recess, but today is a very special day for the Rules Committee. Generally, we just set calendars and parameters, but today we actually have two bills we have to take up for waiving of deadlines. So we were going to be in recess, and we'll come back sometime during session after these bills get reported on the floor to discuss waiving the rules on House File 2227, a Marquardt bill for the Board of Innovation, and House File 2405, which is actually in this committee's possession, a Reinert bill on successors of members of the legislature. So this will happen during session at some point. I'll make an announcement on the floor. Also watch your emails. Members, I like to do that once a year just to remind the rest of the members of the body that this is the only committee that can actually meet during session. So we're going to show our might later today. Members, we're in recess. Members, call the Committee of Rules back to order. We're going to take House File 2405 first. The chair will move House File 2405 be recommended to pass. And I think that's about it. So, what? I think it's General Register. All right. Representative Reinert, welcome to the Rules Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll wait for Representative Detmer to get a seat here just for a second. He's a co-author on this bill and a member of the committee as well. And we have an author's amendment we'd like to put on first.
Hey, Representative, I will move, or Representative Detmer, you're a member of the Rules Committee. Why don't you move?
I'll move to the amendment, H2405A7.
All right, Representative Detmer moves the A7 amendment. Discussion to the A7 amendment. It's coming. We won't vote on it until you see it. We're just going to go to discussion on it.
Mr. Chair, the amendment came out of our last committee stop. It was a suggestion by Representative Holberg. The bill as it was written allowed, this is the substitute legislator bill, if a legislator who's a member of the Guard or Reserves is called to active duty, it allows for someone to serve until, God willing, they return safely from duty. The original bill called for three names to be submitted to the Speaker of the House. Representative Holberg said she would be more comfortable if minority members were able to have those names submitted to their minority leader.
And the majority to the majority
to
leader,
the majority,
in
right.
Whatever case it might be.
And that seemed like a reasonable provision, so we wrote it up and we'd like to add it to the bill.
Okay, discussion to the amendment. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Gentlemen, any further discussion to your bill?
Just a second.
Yes.
Okay, when I was elected in 2006, and I'm still active in the reserve, I asked the question, you know, what happens if I get mobilized, and what happens to my seat? Who represents my constituents back home? And basically, there was no answer for it. And so I did come up with House File 2403, and Representative Reinert came up with House File 2445. We see which one went forward, and I support it, and I support the amendment too. I think we need to have somebody representing our constituents when we're called to active duty, regardless of which side of the house that you sit on.
Representative Howell's question.
Yeah, for the authors of the bill, is there any point in here of a timeline, say for instance you are called to active duty during the filing period, would that change, is that addressed in here at all, or if you're called to active duty 3 days before the election and we have a special session. Are any of those things mentioned?
President Frank. Mr. Chair, Representative Hollis, this only applies to your certified period to serve. If you're gone over a filing period and unable to file, if you're gone over an election and unable to cancel and stand for your campaign and stand for your election, and those are trade-offs we know we have as Guard and Reserve members. There's no special provisions for that. It only covers a period, and I should point out to the members of the committee, it's only federal orders called to active duty. So weekend training periods, two week active training periods don't count.
Yeah. To that point, Representative Howe, I know during the Second World War there were legislators that were reelected, and they were in war. So it just depends on how you would like to apply your. In terms of running the campaign.
Mr. Chair, I'll just add, it's up to the voters, as would this provision. It would be up to the voters.
Okay, Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, there are provisions, he said, during the filing period for any of us, if you happen to be out of town or out of the country where you can file for office, you'd have a bit of a dilemma, as you point out, in terms of how you might campaign if you were gone between filing and a primary or a general election, but you would be able to file.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got a quick question for this. I don't really have an argument with the issue. I'm just wondering, do we need to do a constitutional amendment, or can we just pass a law to make this work?
Representative Reiner.
That's a good question. I don't know if Mr. Shepard wants to answer that. It's my understanding, Representative Hoppe, that it does need to be a provision put to the voters because our Constitution does not provide for that absence currently. Representative Detmer was right. Would it happen to either one of us, and we actually serve in the same unit, the seat would just be empty and the constituents would not be represented. But I don't know if Mr. Shepard's just nodded.
He's nodding, so I think we're right there. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll renew my motion that House File 2405 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, members.
Go Army.
Last order of business, hopefully for the day, is we have House File 2227. And I would make the motion that with respect to House File 2227, the first engrossment, pursuant to Joint Rule 2.03, the deadlines found in the House Concurrent Resolution, number 3 are waived for the remainder of the 2010 session. And I move that House File 2227 be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Finance. Representative Marquardt, welcome to the Rules Committee. Why are you here?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate your indulgence on this. I heard a lot of talk early today on the House floor about budget deficits, and we've had that, of course, the entire session. And next year, it's going to get much worse. And the more we talk about dealing with budget deficits, the more we need this bill and the more we need this council. And the reason why is what this council does, it focuses entirely in every instance on how to put the taxpayer first. And what it looks at when you deal with the budget, it would set up a strategic plan out of the gate by next January that would recommend to the governor and the legislature ways to make savings dealing with technologies, way to look at redesign. And people tend to look at redesign here. Redesign is more value to the taxpayer. That's better results per dollar. That's what that is. So it's not just cutting, it's not just raising, it's getting more value, number one. Number two, it will look at providing waivers for administrative rules and enforcement of procedural laws, which gets through and eliminates burdensome bureaucracy, which gets in the way of cities and county and the state providing the most efficient service at the most efficient cost. There will be plenty of cost savings with that. We also, what this council would do is provide grant dollars to incentivize local units of government and others to look at redesign. How can you increase value, efficiency, and accountability to taxpayers at a better price? That's another. Fourth area, which goes, I know that there will probably be some questions on the old Board of Innovation. This goes much beyond that. I think a much stronger way of getting more value for the dollars. Another thing it does, if we were at the Humphrey Institute back in February, where we had someone from Washington State talk about the Washington Policy Institute, where it's kind of consumer reports. So, for example, you might want to look at how can we close the achievement gap. And this group would commission a group to look at what, when looking at research, what really gives you the best value for the dollar. So we're actually spending things, money on things that actually work. Another area that would do, finally, is it would make recommendations. It would research and look at other places around the state and the nation on how you can look at state and local government structural redesign. So the bottom line here is it would focus on looking at those things we're going to need to do. That, you know, one way is going to be grow the economy as far as the revenues, but we've got to look at redesign and reform on the other side. And the other last point I want to make here is that someone could say, could a committee do this? And I say, not likely, because this council would be able to focus like a laser beam on these type of issues, free of politics for the most part, and free of having to work in dealing on the budget and processing bills. This could put its entire heart and soul in putting these reform ideas together, being great research. The last thing I want to mention, kind of why we're here late, is this really came out a lot of the efforts of the Redesign Caucus. And Representative Loeffler is one of the co-chairs, along with Representative Erdahl and McFarland. The Senate has three bills, I was just talking to Senator Rumbel today, that have passed the Senate floor and are ready to meet up with this bill. But members, the reason we need to do this now, and I realize it's after deadline, is because this would be a crucial tool for us in dealing with the budget deficit next year to make sure that we're not just going back to the usual suspects of increased taxes and just that we can get value, the best dollar, best results for the best cost. So I appreciate your support, members.
Okay. I know a few members have their hands up. I just want to remind the committee and Representative Marquardt did answer the question at the end. The purview of this committee is not to debate the issues within this bill. This bill would go to finance and go to the appropriate committees that would have jurisdiction over it. The real question before us is should we waive the deadline or not, and that is the purview of this committee. So Representative Junkie and then Anderson.
Thank you, and that's what I was getting at. In fact, we were less interested in your description of
the rules. I've never been before the Rules Committee.
So again, you brought up a question. You actually raised it. It did make, apparently, deadlines in the Senate's office floors, and I hear, why didn't it make deadlines here? Did you just introduce it a week ago, or was it introduced in February? We really are trying to understand how you missed deadlines
of
such an important bill.
Thank you.
Marquardt.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Chair, Representative Junkie, it is really a combination of four bills that were introduced this year. Representative Downey's, Representative Thiessen, Representative Hilty, and Representative Mariani. And we were looking at all these as our redesign caucus was meeting. And so it took, in fact, this was the 22-27 was actually Representative Hilty's bill, which we switched authorship on to me. So it was putting those four together is what took time. And actually, the redesign caucus, as we were meeting, we didn't know if we could do anything initially. We really didn't. And as we pursued things, we said, we can do something. And so it was late there as far as that. But so the bill was actually introduced, I don't know, 22-27. It's early in the session, I presume.
Representative House.
Well, Mr. Chairman, first of all, will you give me a note to follow the House? Would you give me a note when I go back up because I'll be late?
Certainly.
Okay.
I have a question on, I know the job of the Rules Committee is just to make the decision whether or not to send this on, but Representative Carlson, in the Finance Committee, if this is where this goes and stays there and then moves on to the floor or Ways and Means, we normally don't take public testimony in finance. Would the public be able to come into his committee maybe or whatever? Would we have at least some public testimony, maybe limited, but
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative House, if you notice, the only reason that we don't in full committee is when a bill has been sent to division and then the testimony has been taken there. So if we were to take up Bay bill in the full committee, and it hadn't had testimony then, obviously, in one of the divisions, we would take it there.
Okay. Representative Anderson and then Westrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My first question was somewhat along the lines of Representative Junkies, but to deviate from that, with the four bills, Representative Marquardt, were any of those four that you combined now into one ever heard in committee? They've been introduced, but have they been heard in committee at all?
Representative Marquardt.
Yeah, and thank you. And Representative Anderson, I believe the Thiessen bill was actually at one time in Representative Kahn's bill. And so I know we were talking, when I mentioned I was doing this, she had mentioned that that was already there. I can't tell you for a fact, that's what she, I remember our conversation on that. So that one might have had a hearing. I don't believe any of the other ones did for sure in government.
We've been there.
On Wednesday we had a hearing and Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Pawlowski.
Was heard this week only because the bill that it was put into was Hilty's bill. They changed authorship. There are, as you've already known, 464 bills in GovOps, and we simply don't have time to read.
Yes. Representative Westrom.
Mr. Chair, one, to the bill and two, to a fiscal note. Is there anything in the bill that sets this committee up differently than a committee? You mentioned the task force, and I'm wondering something like ex parte communications, like the PUC, so the group works independently without lobbyists or special interests that all of a sudden steer their direction. So the reason I ask that, it might seem more of a policy question. If that hasn't happened yet in the bill, I'm less convinced that waiting the deadline will make this pan out. I'm hoping it will. Is there anything like that in that in the committee or the task force set up, or how is it structured that it wouldn't be able to produce the results that you think it would?
Representative Marquardt.
Chair, Representative Westrom. I think you can look back at the record of the Board of Innovation, which I know, you know, lasted for 10 years, was cut, I believe, in 2003. But it wasn't cut because of performance. And so a lot of that set up the same way. I mean, I can't guarantee you there wouldn't be lobbyist influence. It's not set up to have it that way. I mean, there's a very distinct process of looking at waivers of administrative rules and waivers of procedural enforcement of procedural laws. And, you know, there's quite a procedure there. Now, some of the members, there are some members on there that are citizens representing from university, MNSCU, there's an ASME membership on there. But a lot of this would be very same as the Board of Innovation. And the Board of Innovation was getting back $7 of savings for every $1 cost. And we think this is even a ramped up Board of Innovation, and with the Institute part and other things that they would be directed to do, I think the return would even be much greater than that. And so I can't guarantee, as far as, I guess I don't know if I understand totally what you're saying on the lobbyist influence, but I don't see that. It's a pretty independent.
Okay.
Okay.
This bill would be moving on to committees and being looked at for those sorts of issues.
We amount that's booked yet, I assume the $3.1
billion. Representative Marquardt and Representative Westrom, some of these questions deal more with different implications than under the purview of this committee. We're really looking at just should we waive the deadline or not on this bill. Representative Marquardt, is there a fiscal impact, and is that why you're going to fiscal committees?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. Right now, the $250,000 appropriation.
Okay. Any further questions? Hearing none, I'll renew my motion that House File 227, the first engrossment, pursuant to Rule 2.03, that the deadlines in the concurrent resolution number 3 are waived for the remainder of the 2010 regular session, and that House File 2227 be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, members.
Before we leave, we got some more input on the fifth bill on the calendar for the day, Senate File 2642, the Kulik-Jackson Revisers Technical Bill, and we'll set a 30-minute time parameter for that bill. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, members. We are in recess.